Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Dr. Manoj Bazin from Emory University School of Medicine and Children's Healthcare of Atlanta spoke about his study assessing a single-cell atlas characterizing the dysregulation of the bone marrow immune microenvironment in newly diagnosed multiple myeloma. He broke down different analyses showing how the immune system plays a critical role in the emergence and outcomes of multiple myeloma.
So what was the rationale for generating this BMME immune atlas associated with newly diagnosed multiple myeloma?
If you look at the landscape of myeloma, all the risk staging and stratification is mainly tumor genetic centric. So we are mainly focused on tumor part and some clinical features. Whereas the extrinsic factors like immune system, they are not taken in consideration when we are stratifying the patient into high risk or standard risk. So the basis for this study is to figure out, is immune system really play a role in the emergence of multiple myeloma, the therapeutic response, as well as the outcome? And this is one of the first comprehensive studies where we profiled more than 1.4 million cells from newly diagnosed myeloma patients before they're given any therapy. And I think this is a study to answer some of the very important questions because it is built up on Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation COMPASS registry study. That is a study with 8 to 10 years follow-up on the patient with very comprehensive tumor genetics along with the clinical information. So to really understand if immune system play a role in multiple myeloma, this is the study we planned 5 years back.
Thank you very much for laying out the context behind your work and then getting into the paper a little bit more specifically. What did findings show regarding the utility of this single-cell atlas, and what did the cytogenetic risk-based analysis demonstrate specifically?
What we learned from this study is that, first of all, it generated a very comprehensive profile of immune landscape of bone marrow microenvironment of multiple myeloma. And we profiled 106 different major cell types or subtypes or states of immune cells, and then correlate them with the outcomes of multiple myeloma. At broader level, what we learned is that the patients which have the accumulation of these dysfunctional effector T cells at baseline, they usually have poor outcome. And this is true for whether they have standard risk, high risk, based on tumor genetics. So immune system is kind of a key player in driving the outcomes. So that is the first thing we learned. And then the second part of the question that you ask is, how does the cytogenetics immune microenvironment look like? Broadly speaking, the patients of myeloma, they are put into two bins. One is high risk, one is standard risk based on the cytogenetics of their lesions, okay? So what we learned is, first of all, that cytogenetics is not immune system natural. It has the effect on the immune system. But do the all high-risk cytogenetic lesions have same effect? The answer is no, okay? So what we learned is that most of the high-risk cytogenetic lesions, they have depletion of interferon 1 response. But what we observed for one of the high-risk lesions there, which carry deletion of 17P13, so these specific lesions, they have the myeloma, they have enrichment of interferon 1 response. So that looked like to be counterintuitive. But what we learned is that T cells, myeloid cells, the tumor cell themselves, they produce humongous amount of this interferon 1 in specifically in the lesions with 17P13 deletion. Okay. So that is the one thing. And then if you look at the second major cytogenetic alteration carrying myeloma lesions, which have like NSD2, that is T414, and 1Q gain or amp. These lesions, what we learned is that they have accumulation of these dysfunctional kind of T cells along with senescent and exhausted T cells that associated with the poor outcome in these lesions. So what we learned is that the cytogenetics of lesions carrying different cytogenetic alteration, that is, seems to be very different from each other. It is not like all the high-risk lesions have same cytogenetic, same immune imprint. No, that is not true.
Yeah. Regarding other analyses, what were the key findings from the signaling analyses brought up in the paper? And are there any particular factors associated with potential growth in survival or tumor growth and survival? I know you went into some of the factors there with the prior analysis.
One of the major thing what we learned is that the pro-inflammatory signaling and immunosuppressive signaling in bone marrow microenvironment that is driven by maybe interferon 1 or interferon gamma, that really activates T and NK cells, but it also activates macrophage and monocytes. So that it's create, in one side, it is putting an escalator on T and NK cells to make them anti-tumor, but then it's also activate the macrophages so to create immunosuppressive environment. So it's kind of like you're putting a foot on both escalator as well as on the brake of a car. So it is making the cells get exhausted, and that is associated with the poor outcome. So that is one thing we found in the signaling part. And the second thing, what we learned is that there is a great thing going on where APRIL binds with a TACI receptor on the plasma cells. The monocytes and macrophages, which are enriched in high-risk patient and which are enriched in the patient which show very rapid progression, they produce more amount of this APRIL receptor that bind with the TACI on the surface of plasma cells to make them survive and cause the therapeutic resistance. Whereas, like in the patient which have non-progressive disease, they produce BAF instead of APRIL. So when they produce BAF, they bind with the B cells and make them differentiate. It can also bind with TACI on plasma cells, but with very low affinity. So it looked like to be like the balance of this signaling of APRIL, TACI, and BAF is kind of like shifted in the patient of high risk and like the patient which are showing a rapid progression. So maybe I think that provides us a therapeutic opportunity that we can try to intervene into this interaction and try to design new therapies for multiple myeloma that fix the immune microenvironment.
I see. And you might have went into this a little bit already, but how might integrating these immune cell signatures with the known tumor cytogenetics help with the prediction of survival in patients with newly diagnosed disease?
So I think the current prognostic system or staging system is clinical feature driven plus tumor genetic centric. So that are the two components. But what we learned from this study is that tumor extrinsic factors like immune system, the accumulation of these dysfunctional late effector T cells associated with the poor outcome. So I think adding those components into, first of all, your staging system will improve the stratification of the patients. So because right now, based on the current staging system, we observe that some of the high-risk patients, they don't have the progression of the disease, whereas some of the standard-risk patient, they show a very rapid progression of the disease because the immune component is missing. So maybe adding that immune component will bring accuracy into our prognostication system, basically. That is, I think, the first thing we can do. And what clinicians can do from it, in addition to looking at all the clinical parameters, all the tumor genetics parameters, maybe also look into the immune compartment of bone marrow by doing some flow or doing some CyTOF based immune profiling so that they can know if the patient have this dysfunctional T cell at baseline, they have chance of rapid progression of disease. They can alter the disease based on that. So that is the first thing our clinician can do. And we are working toward taking the next step. How can we have maybe a very simple assay that can really capture the immune microenvironment of bone marrow? So that is the first thing. And then based on how is the immune system looking for a patient, a clinician can decide what is the optimal therapy for that. It's kind of like we are trying to bring a personalized tumor genetics, clinical and immune system driven model for improving the progression-free survival as well as overall survival in multiple myeloma. Now we at least know that the immune system is a key player in determining the outcome in multiple myeloma. So clinician, as I said, first step is maybe what all we are doing right now, add the immune component into it and look at if the patients are even standard risk, but they have like a features that are pretty much like a rapid progression, that is the accumulation of these dysfunctional T cells. They can maybe do some immune-focused therapies on those patients. Second thing is we should maybe personalize the treatment based on myeloid compartment and T compartment of the patients, because those two compartments are playing a role in outcome in myeloma patients.
And what would you say are the next steps for further researching perhaps the immune microenvironment or other potential factors correlating with survival in newly diagnosed myeloma?
So I think this study, Immune Atlas, is mainly focused on gene expression profiling, where we looked at the profile of each of the cells from the bone marrow. So from gene, we need to move on to the protein. So as a next step in this direction, we are focusing right now on profiling the proteome profile of each of these cells in bone marrow microenvironment. Then we figured out from this study is that these dysfunctional late effector T cells are the key driver of outcome of multiple myeloma. We need to further characterize them by doing functional assays, by doing some T cell receptor sequencing, like T cell repertoire profiling, so that we can figure out how is the clonality of these dysfunctional T cell look like. That is another step into this direction. And then we are right now looking at the immune component mainly of bone marrow microenvironment. And we also need to look into the stromal compartment that has like these fibroblasts, hematopoietic stem cells, the osteoblasts. So we need to start looking endothelial cells. We should start looking into those cells also, because they might also be playing a key role in addition to immune system plus tumor genetics into the outcome. So that is another step into this direction. And then I will say really converting this research grade assay into a clinical assay by using flow cytometry or by using another approach that can be quickly done with very high sensitivity in the clinical setting will be next major step that we are working toward in this research.
And to wrap up this conversation regarding the study, what do you hope your colleagues sort of take away from this conversation?
Maybe biggest thing I think what we want to say from this study is that immune system is a critical player in the outcome of multiple myeloma. Its emergence as well as its therapeutic response, it is not a byproduct. It is a major driver of the outcome here. Second, we need to start working toward more comprehensive risk stratification models, which have tumor intrinsic factor. We already have them, like genetics and clinical parameters. But then we need to add the immune component into it to further improve the stratification strategy. And third is that all high-risk multiple myeloma lesions, they are not same. They have very different immune imprints. We should look at the immune imprints of them, further comprehensively study them, and then help in designing the immune therapies which really fix the immune dysregulation that is associated with each cytogenetic alteration as compared to thinking that they're all high-risk cytogenetic lesions of myeloma, they are all same. No, they are not.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.